You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The book of Ezra, and we're chapter 3, and Brother Feng Fei is a pastor right back here, right there. God bless you, my brother. And we're thankful for your kids that are with you. Elam and Noah, God bless you for being here tonight. And I appreciate you so very much. You took the work over when our missionary, Brother Lawman, was expelled from his country. And you've done a wonderful job. Thank you for keeping that great, great work going. We're looking at victorious Christian life, the victorious Christian life. I'll read some scripture in a moment. We'll eventually get to the book of Deuteronomy tonight as well. And I don't like to stand up and say, well, I'll be short tonight. I don't like to refer to that, but I'm going to try my best. I'm generally not a long-winded preacher, but I want to sort of be respectful of this week. It's a busy week for you, activities and soul winning and knocking on doors. And then Saturday, two parks each, many parks, but many of you have two services, and in fact, all the parks. And so I'll do my very best tonight. I want to live a victorious, joyful life. My dad was that way. My dad was such a wonderful man. Both my parents died in this month many years ago. My mother 9 years ago, my dad 7 years ago, March 4th and March 17th, in the same little room where they lived, same little tiny bed that they had. And I'll just never get over it. When you lose a loved one, a family member, it's tough. And I've not experienced the hurt that many of you have experienced. But my dad was always a happy person, if you remember him. Always happy. When his eye got shattered at a baseball game, about 1963, and glasses had glass. And he went to the hospital. It was just no big deal. We just dealt with it, and up in Hayward, and got it all stitched up. And they weren't sure he was going to lose his eye. He said, well, God knows. He'd already lost his hearing. And when he had a stroke, and I can never forget that night, and he was paralyzed on one side. It's just the way it was. And they said, you have cancer. And that surgery, I remember spending the night in the hospital with him at O'Connor. And he just always happy. Just a happy guy. And never allowed circumstances to rule his life. I wish it could be like that. He's such a good example. And so many of you are that type of example. And we saw it last week. We saw when the pressures of life come, count it all joy when you fall. God produces joy through pressures. So far we've seen the presence of God produces joy in thy presence. The people of God, ye are our joy and rejoicing. The byproduct of joy, the pressures of joy. Tonight, we've seen the plan of joy. God has a Wednesday night, God said he has his plan, his will produces joy. And you have to find the will of God for your life. And don't make it monumental. Don't make it the huge thing. I got to be a flaming evangelist and fill auditoriums of 20,000 people. Why don't you be a bus captain? Why don't you push a broom? Why don't you be a soul winner and see what God does there? And just be faithful. And watch as you're faithful there, watch what God does. And tonight we're going to see the purpose of life produces joy. If you have no purpose in your life, you're going to have to find your purpose. I won't go through all the C's, but you know them. You've heard it if you've been here in this church long enough. And it's on the first page of my prayer journal. My purpose, I know why I'm here. It's for Christ. Secondly, for my companion, Cindy. I know I'm here for our children and grandchildren. The church, which includes the schools and the ministries and the college. I know I'm here for the city. I know I'm here for this county. I know I'm here for California. I know I'm here for this country. I know I'm here for co-laborers. I want to invest every day of my life in my co-laborers, preacher friends, missionaries. I know my purpose. When I get up in the morning, I have a purpose why I get up. I don't fulfill it all the time like I should. And you don't have to have a tenfold purpose like I have, but you need a purpose. And tonight we're going to see the purpose produces joy. My Bible says this in Ezra chapter 3, and if you'll just follow for some scripture, verse number 6, from the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, and the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. You recall that the original temple had been destroyed, and now these people had been waiting. They had been in captivity, and they were waiting for this new foundation to be destroyed, to be built. Verse 7, they gave money also to the masons and the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them, and they brought cedar trees from Lebanon. Oh, what a time it was. Verse number 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets and with Levites and the sons of Asaph, and he was the music director, and cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of King David, king of Israel. And they sang together. Oh, let's be a singing church. By the course, praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. These people were fulfilling their purpose. Now watch it, verse 12 and 13. And many of the priests and the Levites, the chief fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. How many shouted aloud for, what's that word? Joy. What were they shouting about? Their purpose was being fulfilled. They were putting the foundation back. That which has already been there had been destroyed, and now it's going back up. And look at verse number 13. So the people could not discern the noise from the shout of joy. There it is again. From the noise of weeping of the people. They shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar. I don't think you come to church to sit there like as dead as last year's Christmas tree. I think you ought to be shouting. I tell you what, choir, to walk in and see a choir with not enough chairs every service, that's quite an excitement. I don't know, and thank God for all the choirs, and many of you are watching tonight. Everywhere I go, they say, we come home from our church, and on the East Coast and Midwest and other states, we come home and we watch North Valley Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I always ask the same thing, do you make popcorn? And they look at me like they're in trouble. And some others will know exactly what I'm saying. They say, oh, yes, we have popcorn. And I said, you have root beer too, right? Oh, yes, we have it all. Some of you on the couch right now, look at the butter rolling down your chin. I can see it right now. But nonetheless, you folks will be home pretty soon. And you've been in church. You can just eat popcorn if you will. But the purpose tonight produces joy. Father, I want to be a blessing to your people tonight. Your word is so powerful for me. Singing is more special these days than ever. The Bible is more special. I'm trying to make sure that my prayer life is more special than it's ever been. I pray that I be very kind to people, patient with people, loving to people, understanding. I pray that God, you'd help me be a good person this week, a good Christian, a good pastor. God, may I be able to speak from your word something that will help us on this journey of life to live a victorious life with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. These people were shouting for joy, verse 12. They shouted for joy for verse 13. See, they had a purpose and a desire and a goal, and they accomplished it. I have the advantage, I've known where I'm gonna be on this text for quite some time. And I won't take the time to tell you one illustration, but I have thought through the 48 years of the many, many things. If I had time, I would tell you. Some of you new folks would just be amazed at the many reasons why we shouted. And I'm not going to tell you one because I told you I'm not going to, but I feel so tempted to do it, but I won't do it. But we've been able to shout together. Everything you see around here, we've had the joy to shout together. And I thank God for what he's accomplished. And what? But I'm not done. I don't think God's done, and I'm going to get there tonight. The result was joy. You know, working together always produces joy. I've seen it already this week. Working together, saw it yesterday morning, that meeting That big auditorium was one of many places filled with soul winners yesterday, and not enough room. People were standing, and every adult teacher, 16 adult classes were there, and every teacher had people out. I want you to know that God's people, that when they work together, when they raise money together, when they sing together, when they shout together, when they weep together, when they build together, when they go soul winning together, when they do things together, there's always joy. There's joy in serving Jesus. You have to find a purpose. I'd like this to reach down to young people. I wish 7th and 8th graders, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, I would pray that God would begin to move in your heart. You don't know what you're going to do. I'm not putting pressure on you. You're in 7th grade, say, I'm going to be a pastor. Well, if God deals with you, praise the Lord. But I was way late on that one. Let God develop what he's going to do. Be faithful in what you're doing right now. And if God gives you a direction early in life, praise the Lord for that. But a lot of times I just sort of hold that and see what God's going to do. Now it works. I just saw Brother Joe. I think you started preaching at 8:13. Is that right? 13. And oh, he prayed last night at prayer. I had him, one of many men, pray. And boy, my goodness, you could tell he knows the Lord. And there's something in there. But you're going to have to invest in something and work towards something, accomplish something. People with no purpose are negative. Don't criticize them. Don't knock them. Don't tear them down. But just smile at them when they talk, and hoping that this conversation will end soon. Negative people have no purpose. Discouraging people have no purpose. Moody people have no purpose. Drama, good place to stay. Drama people have no purpose. Discouraged people have no, easily upset people have no purpose. Lethargic people have no purpose. Angry people have no purpose. Divisive people have no purpose. People that attack have no purpose. I don't want to do any of those things. I want to have, and I'm going to ask you tonight, I'm calling us for tonight, a renewed desire, a new renewed drive, a renewed passion. And I'm just going to tell you as we go in a moment to Deuteronomy, I see Sunday school classes beginning around here by the galore. I see them. We don't have any room. I know. Consequently, I see buildings. I'm praying for so many right now, and perhaps God won't give us any of those, but he will give us something. See, that was a weak amen. I tell you what, I've seen the first foundation. And if God could do it back then, God could do it again. I'm praying right now that God would give us some type of building that will at least house 10 small auditoriums that seat 200 to 400 people each. He can't do that. Oh, God can do anything. God can do anything. It's not over yet. I see all those buses. I'd like to run those buses multiple times like we did years ago. So we'll have space. I understand that. I see bus lots. I see expanded stewardship. I see larger prayer meetings. I see, amen, I'll do my own. I see the power of God more than ever. D.L. Moody, he lived often from Chicago on Wall Street in New York. You know what he was doing on Wall Street? He was asking for money. He asked everybody for money. He began his ministry as he got saved as a young teenager, a late teenager in a shoe store in the East Coast. And D.L. Moody went to Chicago and he was selling shoes. And while he was there, he began to see these little urchins. And he went and negotiated with the church and said, you don't use the church all day Sunday. I wonder if you would rent me a couple pews for these little boys that they could come to church. And he rented a couple pews. And then, these are called pews. And then he began to fill those up and he rented some more pews. And he rented some more pews. And he rented the entire section. And he rented multiple sections. And he filled a building up. And then he began a church, the Moody Church, if you ever stood there. And say a big old beautiful stained circular window above when you walk in, the church of the Sunday school. He ran those wagons up and down, horse-drawn wagons up and down Chicago with his bus ministry, a wagon ministry, bringing boys and girls to the house of God. Great things took place there, and it's an amazing thing. He was on Wall Street, and he was walking, and two elderly ladies had been praying for D.L. Moody and praying, "Oh, may the power of God rest, the Holy Spirit power rest on his life like never before." And I tell you what, he's just walking in, and I can understand it as a preacher, because sometimes, maybe I don't know if it's someone praying for me or what, sometimes I just sense the touch of God in the presence of God in my car or at the cemetery or on the salt flats or alone in my office, and sometimes the early morning or the late at night. I'm not saying all lights going off, but once in a while it's like, "God, something's going on here. I don't know what it is, but I sure like it right now." And I tell you, he was on Wall Street asking for money. Those two elderly ladies were praying the touch of God would come upon his life. And all of a sudden, he sensed that God was doing something more than money. And he clung to a light post. He said, "God, something, you're doing something in my heart. I don't know what it is." And he sought shelter in an upper room. And he went to that upper room and began to walk with God and pray with God and said, "God, I desire what those ladies are praying in my life, the power of God." And all great things took place. That old great Moody Bible Institute, all that it produced in the 1800s and 1900s, World War II finished. And because of my dad being nearly deaf, 90%, they didn't allow him to go to the military. His brothers went. They all came home, and they got to choose first. And my dad went to Moody Bible Institute and said, "I want to come, but I haven't been in the military." They said, "Gottlieb, there's no room." He said, "Could you give me night classes?" And he said, "You can't take anything. We have boys that are sleeping in the hallways on bunk beds. Our bedrooms are filled. Our dorm rooms are filled. The hallways are filled. You cannot come." And he said, "Is there something I could take?" And they said, "There's one class. It's a one evening class off campus. You cannot come on the campus. You can come on the campus, but you can't stay. You can come. It's a voice class." He said, "I'll take it." That's because God touched Moody. 1899, he died, and the touch was still there 50 years later. I just believe, friend, I don't believe that it's over because we have a terrible president. I don't believe it's over because the legislative powers are wicked. I don't believe it's over because the judicial powers, how hard, how quickly they've changed against even any degree of righteousness and moral direction in their lives, just being blinded. They're supposed to have a blind judgment. They're supposed to be fair with all people. You don't see that today. I think of it. I'm not for Mr. Trump, I'm not suggesting he's the next Sunday school teacher here. I just can't believe all they're doing there. Blatant. I can't believe what they've done to a lot of these people. I just can't believe that we would do this. And then the other crowd can do the same thing, and it's, "God bless you, you've done a good job." I don't understand that. But I tell you what, God's not finished with the church. God's not finished with us. I believe there's going to be shouting, but we're going to have to get a purpose together. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy tonight. And as you turn there, would you go to chapter 1? Yes, I do see Brother Fanera. I don't know where, I don't know how, but I see a school building. We've dwelt long enough, 47 years, on 1 acre of land with not a blade of grass. We've dwelt long enough there. It's time to get a school. Where? I have no idea. It's time to have enlarged Sunday school rooms. We need Sunday school rooms. We have them stuffed everywhere in lobbies, you name it. It's time. Well, you can't afford it. I know that. I saw a piece of property right down the street, 2 blocks away. Last piece in our city, over 4 acres. $13 million. It's exactly what we need. exactly what we need. That corner building is exactly what we need. That building that was always green back here, as they just painted it last week, gray and white, sort of matches our buildings. And you cut through the bus garage area, you have another 98 parking stalls and all that building space. Well, the man that owns it, it's in Denver. We can't get that. Oh, God knows. And I remember the days we walked around this property in, we walked around the stickers and the weeds, and we'd go corner to corner to corner to corner as it was Jericho, and we prayed, God, give us this property. The owner, let us come. God, give us this property. God, give us this property. Please, we'll use it for your glory. And I'll tell you something, friend, God gave it, and it's being used for his glory. Amen. I don't know how we're going to afford the buildings across the street, and I don't know how we're going to get approval to put the bridge over, but we've already got it drawn. Got the front of this building right next door drawn. We got the buildings across the street drawn. I'm not even going to begin to attempt to say how he's going to do it, but it's the same God that opened up the Red Sea. It's the same God that raised the dead. It's the same God that said, walk around the walls and don't talk. And the last day they walked around seven times and the walls came tumbling down. If God could do it back then, God can do it again. The book of Deuteronomy, I want you to see some things tonight. They're so very vital, very, very important. Deuteronomy, the great writer, Moses is getting ready to die. He preaches this last message. Is it 34 or 36 chapters? I can't remember right now. But he preaches the last message. It's a last message. How would you like to stay? Was it 34 chapters? Someone's looking it up for me right now, 36. Got it? You folks, are you ignorant? You don't even know that? You don't even know how many chapters there are? I'll wait on you. 34, that's what I said, 34. Why'd I get 36? But there's 34. How would you like the preacher to stand up and preach 34 chapters to you? You didn't mean that. And it wasn't my wife saying amen, I'll tell you that right now. And Brother Everson, you lied to me, yes. You lied to all of us. Why do you confess your sins? The man's perfect. Moses, and I found a couple of years ago, I was reading through Deuteronomy in that program that we have, and I've underlined all the do's. It says do it. It's an action book. God wants us to do something. And I want you to see with me, and Moses is writing in chapter 1. Would you read verse number 6 with me? Powerful text. Ready? Begin. The Lord our God. Long enough. They were still wandering. They were only 11 days journey from victory in chapter 1 and in verse number 2. They were only 11 days away moving 2 million people to 11 days, and the 11 days took 40 years. And Moses said, you have dwelt here long enough wandering around. I don't ever want to begrudge us or God for what he's done, but I think it's long enough. We built this beautiful building and moved in on August 17th, 17 years ago. It's been long enough. It's time for some more. So the economy? Oh, the economy's always been bad because we've had Republican and Democrat presidents, and on it goes. Oh, it's not up to who's in office, ladies and gentlemen. We've dwelt long enough. And so he begins to deal with it. He says, listen, here's the opportunities. Verse 8, here's your opportunity. Behold, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. There's opportunities. I don't know how you're going to take these opportunities. Maybe you're going to fast. Maybe you're going to pray. Maybe you're going to sit out in front of some of these buildings and say, God, we'll use it for your glory. Maybe like COVID helped us so much. I was preaching somewhere this week and I said, COVID was so wonderful. You go by the school and you see mothers sometimes with their children kneeling on that little piece of grass that we have out front and just praying that God would open the door for their kids to go back to school. We'd see you deacons that organize every night at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. You come out of here on these steps and men were praying out here. You'd see mothers and children praying on those concrete steps. Every time you drove by, there was someone here. 472 days, and God was doing something. But we've dwelt long enough. Long enough. God's eager and ready to do something, but ye have not because ye ask not. And we ask amiss to consume it upon our own lust. No, friend, God wants to do something. I want your kids to be in a place where there's, yes, a huge choir and a huge orchestra, and there's amens and there's revival, there's people getting saved, and the Easter Saturday and Sunday is thrilling. They'll never forget it. I want that for your kids. I want a Christian school with some property for your kids. I want it to have some space. I see these other schools, and I see the public schools, and every public school has 10 to 15 acres. And I say, God, would you do that for us? Well, he can't do that. We're out of, but God can do anything but fail. The opportunities, and you dwelt long enough in verse number 9 and 12. I can't do this. I need your help. And I spake unto you that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. Verse number 12, how can I myself alone bear your cumbersome and your burden and your strife? Verse 15, so I took the chief of your tribes and wise men and the heads over you, captains of thousands and captains of hundreds and captains of fifties and captains of 10, the officers of your tribe. No telling what we could do if God's people got in this vision, whatever it is. But God's not done yet. We've dwelt long enough. Those people in Ezra's day were rejoicing and rejoicing and were shouting for joy because they accomplished something. Moses trying to see people don't miss this. God gave them helpers, verse 13 and 15. Don't get discouraged, verse 22. And it came, the pipe said, ye came near unto me. Every one of you said, we will send men before us and they shall search out the land. And I took 12 men of one tribe and they searched out the land, verse 24. And they took the fruit of the land, notwithstanding you would not go up. You rebelled against your commandment of the Lord your God. You murmured in your tents. Well, there he goes again. There he goes again. Verse 28, and whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. The people is greater and taller than we. And the cities are great and walled. It's not possible to get that school. It's not possible to get these buildings. It's not possible to get these buildings. It's not possible to get a bus garage, bus area. It's not possible to expand the vision and start more churches all over this region and in California and beyond. It's not possible. God specializes in things that are impossible. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And he will do what no other can do. God can. I just believe God can. I believe God can. Psalm 78. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? God can. Notice what else he says in this text. Our kids need to see this. How about verse 33? Look at past miracles. Who went by the way before you to search out the place to pitch your tents, a fire by night to show you the way and a cloud by day. God has given us past victories. And past victories tells us that God can do something again. Verse 39, our kids need to see this miracle. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day have no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Your kids need to see that God still can. That God still can. I think you have seen that this week with knocking on doors and visiting people. Brother Reamer said in teachers' meeting, or maybe Brother Flood did tonight, that not one person has been negative. And I was out yesterday passing those, and I think of one man, and I won't call his name. I'm going back. In fact, I went back after a while, tried again. I went around the block, and I came back. He's still sitting on the porch in the rain. I called him by name. I'll call it Harry, but it wasn't Harry. I said, Harry, I talked to him. He's not ready for salvation. Just talk to him. I'm going back. I believe his heart is so ready. I don't know what he's looking for, but he's looking for something I could tell. I was walking down the street, and at this house, beautiful little cottage sort of downtown, those old houses, Victorian houses downtown. And I like to go down there, and I was knocking on the door real close to where, Sarah, you're going to live. And I was over there knocking on doors, and you and Cole. And this, just a little Tudor house, just a little, probably 800-900 square feet, just a beautiful. But nobody was there. And I came back after I'd come back on this side, and a mother was putting two children in the car, and now the rain's coming. She didn't have time to talk. She was trying to get them in car seats. And she yelled about a house and a half away, thank you. Thank you so much. I said, I want you to come. I hope you, we'll be there. We'll be there. Got them all bundled up, got in the car. I tell you what, I think this area is crying for help. But your little kids need to see that God can. God can do this. Brother Flood and I were talking, Brother Reamers and I believe we were talking. We have so many churches across America that are doing the 100,000 door campaign, like it's a 1,000 door campaign. Unless you think that's nothing, some of them, it's from going from farm to farm. And you drive a couple acres to the next farm. And you go up the dirt driveway, the gravel driveway, and two bulldogs are there. But don't worry, take me along because I'm a German shepherd and I can take care of them. And I'll tell you, you're thinking, do I get out of my car? And you get out of your car and you try to, you know, that takes a lot of time. We can get 100,000 door a lot faster than most of our churches. And some of you, many of you are watching tonight, you're in towns of 4,000 and 5,000 and 8,000. Our here is much bigger. It's huge. But it's amazing in America right now how many, Brother Flood, did he stay in church tonight? There you are. Brother Flood! Cherith, will you, oh, she's down here. Will you sign language him to wake up back there? He's got his eyes closed, right? He's taking it all in. Mother-in-law, will you sit a little bit closer to your son? Just move on over there, will you? Just, this would be good for him. Jules is between you. All right, sorry, Shirley Temple. But you realize, folks, what could happen here? And your little kids see something happen. We've been talking about how many churches are doing now Saturday at the park, reaching their areas. It's an amazing thing. And Sunday, this morning, I held up, Luke, Brother Flood corrected me tonight. I said, don't forget, get your brochure and to pass it out. And he said, you held that up this morning. You know that's not ours, Pastor. I said, what? This is Omaha, Nebraska. I was preaching somewhere this week, and this pastor and his wife from Omaha, Nebraska, Midwestern Baptist Church, he said, Brother Treber, I said, boy, that's a nice, I didn't know. I said, that's a nice looking brochure. He said, well, it should be. We got it from North Valley Publications. I think you've done a million plus. Thank God for this. And Easter all over America. I've been pleading with on the radio and again a video this morning. Please pray about being in the choir Sunday. Be in your orchestra. Your church might be in an orchestra of one instrument. One. Well, be there. Be an usher. Be a prayer warrior. Thank God. Your little kids need to see something can happen. Verse 43, and I'll try to wind it up. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear. but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. They wasted 40 years. He said it again in verse 3 of chapter 2, "Ye have compassed this mountain long enough." I know it seems like I'm always pushing for something. But not only do I want to reach this area, I want you to give you something to shout about so you'll have some joy. I'd like to see us leave here and give yourself to some purpose so you can be fulfilled. Give yourself to your marriage. Give yourself to your children and grandchildren. Give yourself to your church. Give yourself to a bus route. Give yourself to prayer. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll never shout if you don't find a purpose. Let's stand together, shall we? Our Father, I thank you for these people. I guess I wanted to speak a lot longer, but I've spoken long enough tonight. I pray that you would work in this invitation. May we get some young men in our high school and college that get burdened with accomplishing something with their lives. Something right now on their journey as they're young. May they build a Sunday school class, a bus route. May they do something at the house of God and do it faithfully. And God, begin to plant a real burden in their heart to accomplish something. We've dwelt here long enough. God, we prayed so earnestly, God's people did, for this property. And you did it. And we have it because we asked.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.